From DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented by Marco's Pizza. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
I got a tweet yesterday from a Dog Nation Daily listener and viewer who said, hey, BA, did you see that the college football preview magazines are out? And not only did I see them, I've already bought three of them. And I will spend a lot of time here over the course of the Memorial Day weekend, assuming I can get some help from the weather. I've already made my plans to sit around a pool here and read some of this stuff and let the bottoms get frayed from the pool water as I'm slathered in sunscreen and looking forward to the upcoming college football season. I've explained to you before that I do love those sort of old school magazines. I like going to the newsstand and buying them. I like, you know, carrying them around to the beach and everywhere else I go over the course of the summer. And one of my favorite things about the traditional college football preview magazines is the anonymous coach quotes. And you may be aware of this, but a lot of these magazines, one of the great staples of them is they talk to coaches who've played against various, in this case, SEC teams, and in this case in particular, coming up in a moment, Georgia, to find out, hey, what can you tell us about Georgia that you'd be afraid to say on the record with your name attached to it, but you're not so afraid to say in the, you know, with the cloak of anonymity covering you up here? And there's always some fun stuff on that. We love this time of year because of that. And as an example of that, something that some Georgia fans may not like from an apparent coach that's played against Georgia, coached against Georgia, as quoted by the college football preview magazine Lindy's. Let me read you this quote here. Then I'm going to explain why I think the coach is wrong for what he said. But how about this for maybe questioning Kirby Smart, maybe doubting a recent decision for the coach of the Georgia Bulldogs, Kirby Smart? Here's what one anonymous coach said via the Lindy's College Football Preview magazine. If Jake Fromm doesn't improve, you can blame Kirby Smart. The Lindy's magazine quotes the coach as going on to say, you can blame Kirby Smart for moving Jim Chaney to the tight ends coach. Chaney did a hell of a job with Fromm last year, but Kirby Smart is a mad scientist. He has to experiment. Now, this same coach presumably goes on to say some complimentary things about Kirby Smart, which I'll get to later on. But let's deal off the top of the show here for a moment with that idea that what if Jake Fromm doesn't have as good of a sophomore season? Is it going to be because Kirby Smart, the mad scientist as he's described there, has to experiment, has to tinker, has to say, let me move Jim Chaney over to tight ends coach. And he's still essentially also the offensive coordinator. But now it's a promotion for James Coley, sort of slides over to that quarterback's coach role. I think this is completely erroneous. I think it's, frankly, a bit ludicrous. I think many of you who are either listening or watching right now probably agree. And for the most part, this is really for two reasons. First of all, James Coley, who's going to be working a lot closer with Fromm here this season, I mean, this is a guy that people who've met with him privately have told me that he may be the most impressive member of this coaching staff in terms of how he talks about football, how he just sort of conducts his business as a professional here. Coley's got a lot of fans among many UGA boosters, I can promise you that, and fellow coaching brethren alike. So I think that Coley's plenty strong and plenty good there. But on the notion of Fromm, the notion of that freshman season for Jake Fromm sort of solely being or primarily being a factor that Jim Chaney provided, that Chaney tinkering with Fromm is what made him be so successful. I think there's some evidence to suggest that's not necessarily true, which is not to discredit Jim Chaney, who I do think has been, over the course of his time, a pretty good offensive coordinator for UGA. But Fromm already brought good stock into this situation to begin with. He was already something of a, if not quite finished product, a product that definitely had some things going for him from the very get-go. Let me give you a couple of pieces of evidence as to what I'm talking about here and why I don't think that the potential coaching switch for a quarterback's coach for Jake Fromm is going to have much of an impact on him, because he was already doing big work. He was already devoting himself to the idea of being an SEC quarterback before Jim Chaney ever got his hands on him. Let me go back in time here. This is two Januaries ago when I was lucky enough here on Dog Nation Daily presented by Marco's Pizza to have a chance to sit down one-on-one with Jake Fromm. The week that he enrolled at Georgia, this was a very young man at that time. He was just coming off his high school career at Houston County. He was getting ready to begin his Georgia career. He was an early enrollee freshman that week at UGA, and you know what? When it comes to the nuts and bolts of being an SEC quarterback, he was already starting to work on it. Let me give you a clip as an example.
That film room, it's always open. You know, you can always go there, turn on some film, and just learn from it. Watch it, digest it, and it's just something that really helps my game.
So that film room is always open. Now, you got to understand something here. Jim Chaney, at the time that Jake Fromm says that film room's already open, always open. Jim Chaney's on the recruiting trail. Jim Chaney's trying to finish off the class of 2017, which is the class that Georgia was working on at the time. Jim Chaney's doing all that kind of stuff. But Jake Fromm's already in the film room. Jake Fromm's already plugging himself in there. So when you have that kind of quarterback, you know, that kind of mentality as a quarterback, I don't think it matters for you so much if Jim Chaney's your offensive coordinator, if James Coley's your offensive coordinator. You bring a work ethic that sort of supersedes whoever your coach might be. In this case, it's probably two outstanding ones. Here's a little bit more from Fromm about the work he was already doing before Jim Chaney really got a chance to actually be the coach for Fromm. Here's Fromm again.
We're doing a lot. We're meeting every single day. Right now, we're learning a lot about a defense assignment, a defense alignment. Really trying to figure out what the defense is going to do before we ever snap the ball. And, you know, we've been really diving into that. And as soon as Coach Chaney gets back from being on the road, we'll get in the offense, and it'll be great.
I mean, y'all, come on. Come on. I mean, doesn't that quote from, by the way, two Januaries ago, from his first week on campus as a Georgia quarterback, doesn't that explain as much about how Jake Fromm has a successful freshman season as almost anything? And we make no apologies for the fact that here on our program, we are unabashed fans of Jake Fromm, and that's a big reason why. Because when Jim Chaney was out on the recruiting trail, Fromm is already conducting meetings. He's already you know hanging out with anybody he can to glean any kind of information he can about what opposing defenses are going to show to him and what the Georgia playbook is going to require of him. This is with Jim Chaney still out and doing recruiting. So transitioning from Chaney as the full-time offensive coordinator to now, you know, part-time offensive coordinator, part-time tight ends coach, James Coley taking more of an influence in Fromm specifically as the QB coach this year. I don't think Jake Fromm's going to suffer from that at all. If anything, we'll see even more improvement from Fromm here in his sophomore season. Now, it's worth pointing out that while that particular quote from that particular coach from Lindy's was somewhat critical, most other coaches' comments from the preseason magazines that are out right now are a little bit more complimentary. In fact, we had Mitch Light on the show yesterday. Mitch is the managing editor of Athlon Sports. Athlon's one of my favorite college football preview magazines. And as he spoke to us about UGA, he actually referenced something that an anonymous coach said about Kirby Smart in their magazine. And if you heard yesterday's show, you may have missed this from Mitch Light. Pretty interesting what some coaches are thinking about Kirby right now.
You know, we do those anonymous scouting reports in our magazine. We talk to assistant coaches around the league. And here's something that stood out about Georgia. This is another SEC coach. I don't know that I've ever seen a team make the strides from one year to the next that Georgia made last year. And I don't think that was a fluke by any stretch. So that about sums it up right there.
Yeah, that does about sum it up right there, and that sort of speaks to the way in which the stature of Kirby Smart has grown in his time here at Georgia. To go on from a little more of the Athlon College Football Preview magazine, I'll read you this, that it's going to be an interesting competition between Fromm and Fields, but the biggest takeaway of all here is the anonymous coach says they are going to run away with the East. Nobody is close to them right now. And by the way, I also quoted from Lindy's earlier the somewhat critical line on Kirby Smart. Everything else, though, much more complimentary, including on the defense here, where an anonymous coach is quoted as saying that I don't think Georgia took that big of a hit on the defense. They lost Roquan Smith, but the rest of those guys were okay players. They weren't superstars, but I ain't buying that they lost that much on defense. And then nobody's going to match the tandem of Nick Chubb and Sony Michel. But Lindy's, the anonymous coach quoted there, says DeAndre Swift is special. He's got size, speed, burst, vision, hands, toughness, and they've got Elijah Holyfield. They signed a great running back in Zamir White. I'm not sleeping on Georgia. They've got great players. That's an anonymous coach as quoted by Lindy. So kind of interesting here to me, and I think the bottom line of this entire discussion is that if the only thing you can find to criticize Georgia for this offseason, transitioning from Jim Chaney at offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach to another outstanding coach in James Coley, then you actually don't have all that much to criticize. And it's sort of fascinating to me to watch how the stature of Kirby Smart has grown here over the last couple of years, going from being somewhat of an unknown commodity in the offseason of 2016 before he coached his first season to now being a guy that's really established a bit of a track record and established a bit of a brand. When you think about Georgia football on the field, there are certain things that you think about as the hallmark of what Kirby Smart teams bring to the table. And it sounds like a lot of the anonymous coaches, quoted by a couple preseason magazines, think that Georgia brand that Kirby's building is going to be plenty good enough to do some good things right here in 2018. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. We are presented by Marco's Pizza, and we are glad you are with us no matter how you get to us today, whether it be on video, a couple different ways you can find us on video, the Facebook page, Dog Nation, Facebook page at 10 a.m., Dog Nation YouTube at 10 a.m. We've been on the Dog Nation Twitter feed. That's been really fun. We're glad to have you if you watch us on video. We're also happy to say we're back on the radio again. on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref. We're there every noon. We've been off the last couple of days because of the SEC baseball tournament. Now, I guess part of the reason we're back on today is not necessarily a good reason, as the Dogs go two and out quickly in the SEC baseball tournament, but they've got plenty of good things coming in the NCAA tournament here as well. So for now, it's just sort of good to be back on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, and we appreciate you checking us out in podcast form. No matter how you get podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Android devices, the world famous DogNation.com. We're just glad you found Dog Nation Daily here today. And speaking of Marco's Pizza, they are our fine sponsor, and they remind you and invite you to say hello to authentic Italian quality pizza from Marco's. Every pizza is topped with three signature cheeses that make for the perfect melt every time. Order today from Marco's.com. It is a Friday. That means Jeff Sintel coming up here in just a couple of minutes. We've actually got a lot to get into with Jeff. We'll talk about the Josh Belk visit that was supposed to take place in Georgia yesterday. It sounds like that did go down. Jeff will give us an update on that. I'm also, as you might imagine, going to press Jeff a good bit on the quotes from N'Kobe Dean's mother that we talked about yesterday here on our program that Jeff wrote about a little earlier this week. It looks like Georgia has moved on pretty quickly here and gotten involved with some pretty very good-looking linebacker prospects here for the class of 2019. We will let Jeff Sintel tell us about all of that. It's also a big weekend for Georgia softball. We'll talk about that in a moment as a part of our Kroger Click List checklist. But before we do any of that, it's also been maybe controversial is probably the wrong word here, but there has been some conversation over the last 24 hours or so because of the movements of the UGA Athletic Board. Chip Towers has reported on that for DogNation.com. And, you know, last night when Chip was doing Towers Take, which is also brought to you by Marco's Pizza here at Dog Nation, he kind of got into one of the interesting, I think, discussions that's going to be ongoing around Dog Nation for the next year or so, and that's the future of Greg McGarity. Chip wrote an interesting column about that for DogNation.com, and on his video program last night, Towers Take, he also sort of set up the way the conversation is going to continue here in the months ahead. Here's a little bit from Chip.
I knew this would be controversial, so I wrote it. I just simply asked the question of you, the Dog Nation, as to whether you felt like Greg McGarity was due a contract extension and or a raise. He is currently the 13th highest paid AD in the SEC, and he has 1 year left on his contract at a time when things are going pretty well.
And of course, as Chip also pointed out on video last night, while things with the Georgia Athletic Department are going well now, it hasn't been all that long that was necessarily the case. The baseball team having its best season in a while. Georgia just had to hire a new basketball coach. People seem to be rallying around Tom Crean, but there was a lot of apathy and, frankly, disappointment at the end of the Mark Fox era, and kind of on and on you could go. Well, Lady Dogs basketball, probably better than it's been. Softball team, even though they were good last year, probably even better this year. There are some high water marks for athletics right now that probably weren't the case 12 months ago. And the reason why Chip said he knew that talking about McGarity is going to be controversial is because McGarity, for the most part, is an unpopular figure. Now, I've said before that part of the reason why he, as an administrator, is unpopular is because the act of administration in itself is unpopular. McGarity sort of reminds you of your middle school principal. You probably didn't like that guy very much. And I think some of that sort of gets stuck to McGarity, and he kind of gets a certain degree of unpopularity, if that's even a word, because of the fact that he's an administrator, and people just don't really like administration. But against the tide of some Georgia fans who maybe say, maybe Georgia be better off with somebody different as athletic director, Chip, seeing the current McGarity contract coming to an end, suggests something different. But maybe it's actually about time to give Greg McGarity a raise. Here's a little bit from Chip on that.
In my opinion, he deserves a raise. He's paid $675,000 a year, which is a lot, but that's 13th in the SEC when you're talking about an athletic program that is about to approve a record $143 million budget. It's just he's a CEO of a company that is worthy of more than that, being paid the 13th among SEC athletic directors, in my opinion.
Yeah, so listen, I mean, look, that's obviously Chip's opinion. I sort of understand where that's coming from. My issue is the whole idea of being athletic director at Georgia is, for the most part, overblown. You know, to describe him as the CEO, is that really the best description for McGarity at Georgia? He's clearly the leader of the organization if you look at the org chart. But in terms of casting the vision for the organization, that's mostly done by Kirby Smart. And for me, the job of a current athletic director in the modern-day SEC is not to be the leader of the organization. It's a little bit more simple than that. It's really just to do what the football coach wants. Give the football coach what he needs. Now, some people would say that McGarity's not doing that in the form of a new weight room, or at least he's allowing the Athletic Association to drag its feet on that, and that may be the case. But for the most part, I think that Greg McGarity, whether he gets a raise, whether he's replaced, anything else, I think for the most part, the athletic director at Georgia is inconsequential to the future success of the one real sport within the Athletic Association matters, and that's football. But speaking of athletics and speaking of the upcoming weekend for UGA, let's quickly check in on that right now as part of our Kroger Click List checklist. And there's one big thing to keep in mind. The softball team hosts the Athens Super Regional starting today against a SEC rival Tennessee. You can check the games out on ESPNU. The first one, I guess, is scheduled to come up at 5 p.m. here today. That's part of our Kroger Click List checklist here. We do it every Friday on a Dog Nation Daily. And thinking of Kroger, think about those great graduation parties and those custom party platters. Going to be great for you on that. And you just use, as you celebrate with your grad, just go to Kroger.com/graduation or just visit your Atlanta area Kroger to start planning for your graduation celebration right now. And for everybody in your life that's getting ready to celebrate that big milestone, congratulations to them. It's great to have you with us here today on a Dog Nation Daily presented by Marcos Pizza. And as Friday would dictate, hope you enjoy Jeff Sintel right now.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
Jeff Sintel does not like it when I expense with pleasantries, when I don't say good morning and hello, when I just sort of dive right into the content of the day. So let me instead here on this holiday weekend be a little bit more cordial and a little bit more maybe genteel, if that's the right word. Jeff, I understand that today was a big day for your family. I don't know how much you want to talk about that, but congratulations. And certainly these are the times that matter more than anything else, and it sounds like you were able to enjoy some of that here today.
Yeah, Brandon, thanks, man. And we had a graduation today, and I'm going to tell you, it must be something in the all that organic milk these kids drink, because there were some of them that looked old enough to run for president, man. They're growing up pretty fast, and it was a fun morning.
So are you telling me that you saw some kids that you're already trying to find out if they have any offers yet? Is that kind of what's going on there? Were you finding out who's in early on their recruitment?
Believe it or not, Brandon, we're talking fifth grade, and if I was a women's basketball reporter, there are already some young ladies that are over, like, right at 6 feet right now, which is kind of crazy to think about. But, yeah, there's some kids, and they give an award for everything these days, art awards, citizenship awards, reading awards. And, I mean, it was a pretty long ceremony, but a lot of kids walked away with a lot of awards and tassels and medals. Don't think they gave away any golden podcaster awards yet, so I think you're safe.
Well, that's, nice to know, and it's good to have you with us on the show today after what was a big day for you. You're a good friend of Dog Nation for coming by and talking a little recruiting with us. We appreciate that. And if you don't mind, I want to start our conversation by talking about Josh Belk here, who I asked you about last Friday thinking there was zero chance Georgia got involved. And, of course, that's what I get for thinking that Kirby Smart is not going to sort of sneak his way through a door, even if it's only partially ajar here. Georgia, I guess, does get the visit yesterday. But, Jeff, as I think you're probably going to agree with me on, the amount of misinformation about Josh Belk's recruitment dwarfs the amount of information by a magnitude of about 10 to 1 here. I've heard a million rumors about why South Carolina actually can't recruit him, about why it's a done deal that he's already going to South Carolina, about where it's actually he's going to be living next year. Is there anything you can do to separate fact from fiction here about a pretty intriguing recruit that's sort of suddenly kind of fallen into our field of vision here?
Yeah, that's a very interesting one, Brandon. I'll just tell you guys what I know. First of all, it's very odd on multiple fronts. It's very odd that you see a prospect that will spend basically 4 months early enrolled at Clemson and then leave. And I don't think it's magnified enough about how big of a loss this is for Clemson, because I think they only signed like 17 or 18 guys last year. For them to lose a defensive tackle that was making some of their prized offensive line prospects look pretty green in spring camp was something to think about. But then you've got, you know, what takes place after this. And first of all, I want to just put a reality check on a lot of this. I mean, Josh Belk is a very good football player, but it's not like this was Aubrey Solomon last year or Trevon Walker this year. I think he was the nation's number 8 defensive tackle and number 107 overall player. And
as we do try to inform folks on this show, I think if Josh Belk was in Georgia's class this past year, I think he would probably be a top nine or a top 10 pick, a top 10 rated recruit. So this is not a save the day recruit, but it is a recruit that Georgia definitely needs defensive line help. Georgia definitely could use another defensive lineman. But remember, this is not an immediate transfusion of eligibility for Josh Belk. As I understand the situation, and again, this is a new situation. I'm not used to going through lawyers' offices for statements with recruits and everything like that. It's almost like you could probably get quotes from Sean Spicer about this situation quicker than others. But I think the thing to think about here as well is, you know, all that maybe misinformation about wanting to be closer to home and maybe a potential medical issue that's kind of driving the boat, and Clemson released him with an unconditional release. But unfortunately, the NCAA is not that kind. Wherever he transfers to, I'm expecting Josh Belk to have to sit out a year anyway.
Yeah, that's fine. But from a fan's perspective, I still want him, even if it's not until 2019 that he's on getting a chance to compete and be on the football field. This is, for me, kind of an interesting story to follow here. And I think the state has had some quotes from Belk recently. Is it safe to say, based on some of this kind of stuff and maybe the chatter that you're hearing, that it just seems like he likes South Carolina better than Georgia? It seems like the visit to UGA is, I hate to say it like this because I may be miscasting it, but something of a favor to a coach that he's had a relationship with, Trey Scott. But listen, sometimes when you get a guy on campus, I guess you have a chance of sort of wowing him and wooing him. But I mean, based on what I've read here from the state, who's done a lot of reporting on the story, that it seems like he just sort of likes South Carolina better.
Well, I mean, the early vector into this story, Brandon, before everybody starts, you know, rushing to get their hopes up, and, you know, for the Georgia's 2018 class, that would be like Georgia winning a game, you know, 15-1, and then finding out later that the official scorer missed a couple of times when he crosses the plate. So Georgia's 2018 recruiting class, if they added Josh Belk, would be something like a 17-1 result. But the calming parts, I'll say here, is simply, Josh Belk wasn't big on Georgia when he was a wide-open recruit. He wasn't. He wasn't deeply considering Georgia, taking a bunch of official visits. I mean, we talked about umpteen defensive tackles in the class of 2018. We never really seriously brought up the name Josh Belk. So that, you know, kind of doubling down on that story, that would have to be a huge change of heart, considering Georgia's open opportunity at defensive tackle and the way the program elevated its station with what it did in the 2017 season.
Yeah, that's right. Let me shift gears here, talk about five-star linebacker Nakobe Dean for a moment. And Jeff, you know that I believe that all Centel intels are must-read material. I legitimately do. But there are a few Centel intels that are even more than that. They are sort of stop everything and read. And Nakobe Dean's mom earlier this week for the Centel intel, and we talked about some of the quotes yesterday, but obviously there are plenty more that we didn't even get a chance to get into on our program. That's sort of a stop everything and read piece from you there when she says as many glowing, specific, by the way, things about why she likes the way that Georgia's recruiting her son. And, you know, I don't know how much of that you want to describe here right now, but for Georgia fans who are sort of wondering what's going to happen in the wake of Owen Popo's decision to choose Auburn over UGA, Kirby did not wait long, did he? He did not wait long to start casting some big-time lures out there in the water, and right now the Dean family seems to really be liking what they're hearing from UGA.
Well, you know, Brandon, that's what they hopefully give me a few donuts for on payday for, is that because I try to bring details more than just surface-level material. And when I was speaking to his mother, who's a very sharp lady, his father is a family practitioner. Nikita Dean is also a very accomplished professional in her own right. But to me, when she started breaking out terms like Freestyle Friday, and she spoke about how Georgia, some schools are too pushy, some schools are not pushy enough, and she thought that Georgia was just the right balance of that. She said it was her best visit ever. She also felt that Georgia, and this is something I didn't, you know, cast into the intel, Brandon, this is something for your audience. Ooh. She also kind of felt, as well as Nakobe felt, that Georgia never really, you know, had a spike in interest before or after the Owen Papo nose, because that's just the way Georgia recruits. Everybody thought that all eggs are in the Owen Papo basket. Well, that wasn't the case. I mean, Georgia, as you've read this week in some of the intels, there's Ryan Davis, there's Nakobe Dean. There's a lot of options there that Georgia was working heavily over the last 3 or 4 months, and not just counting Owen Papo as a bulldog in the bush, so to speak. So, I mean, there's specific areas of that recruitment where he knows Georgia's already going to get an official. Of course, he's going to take an official to Alabama as well. He kind of also cast aside the notion that everybody conceives that LSU and Alabama are his prohibitive favorites, and even the home state school, Mississippi State. He also told me that everybody's taking a look at N'Kobe Dean's 27 on his ACT and his 4.7 GPA, and they're thinking, that's a Stanford man right there. Well, he kind of backpedaled on that and just said, you know, Stanford's not really working out for me right now because he wants to enroll early. He's having to do some work with his high school to get that straightened out so he can enroll early. He's also not knowing how he can get out to Stanford to take an unofficial visit because that is far away. And really, to me, just listening to him talk and his mother talk, seems like Stanford is no longer an issue. But academics are going to be at the forefront of his recruitment, especially according to mom. Football is the third thing. I love how the Dean family looks at recruiting and looks at rankings. She basically says, listen, these rankings and what you guys are saying about my son right now will not matter a hill of beans come next August.
Yeah.
And that's all that really matters. He starts at zero with the coaches. He starts at zero with all the players. And he understands that success in life is an input-output business.
You mentioned Ryan Davis, and I want to talk about him in a moment. Let me follow up quickly on N'Kobe Dean on one thing, because way before we got the quotes, or you got the quotes from Dean's mom there at Dog Nation, you know, there was in the SEC Country Report a few days ago from the Alabama perspective, and I always thought that Dean was just likely to end up in the Alabama class. He was one of those guys, as you've said before, committed, uncommitted players. I just thought Dean would eventually end up at Alabama. But there was the report the other day that did not make it sound like that Dean was necessarily all that much of an Alabama lean. And when you kind of combine that here with this, it seems like, you know, from my perspective, you know, obviously just sort of reading this as a fan, but with the reporting that you and others are doing, it seems like the Georgia for real really is in this thing. In fact, there's all kinds of online chatter of people kind of going on the record to say they think that Dean will go to Georgia. This seems more substance than just style, more steak than just sizzle. Is that fair?
Yeah, Brandon. And I think, first of all, it's the end of May. And I think everybody should kind of realize, you know, what the end of May actually means. Because I think Georgia's recruiting ranking last year at the end of May was somewhere around 57 nationally. What happens here a lot of times, and those that are in that business of crystal ball predictions, they get more points for their value rating metric score based on how early they go out on a limb about a certain recruit. Now, they can always change it and get lesser points so they still end up getting right. But what I see here, and it's something that's not talked about enough in the recruiting industry, is this is a problem. This is not a problem. But I think this is a period with a prospect where sometimes a visit happens that erases any potential leanings that a school might have with a prospect. And I think that's what happens now, especially with Georgia over the last 1 to 2 weeks. I think N'Kobe Dean feels a certain type of way about Georgia that causes him to back up off of every other thing he was looking at and take a deeper look at his recruiting. Everybody wants to say leaning this way, leaning that way. I just think that visit for N'Kobe Dean, while it definitely helps Georgia, I think it's an equalizer visit that puts Georgia in the thick of his recruiting with everyone else. And that's the way a fan that wants to get their hopes up right now, that's the way I would advise them to look at it.
All right, let me talk about Ryan Davis here. That's a linebacker you mentioned a moment ago from Apopka, Florida. This is also a guy that's sort of been seen trending towards UGA based on some of the online chatter this week. Once again, a Dog Nation piece with Davis sort of helps explain why here. He certainly seemed to enjoy the scavenger on it. This is sort of a two-part question. First of all, I'm a little bit confused. Is Davis more of an inside or an outside linebacker once he gets to Georgia? And would you mind speaking a little bit to the role that Scott Fountain as sort of a lead in the recruiting is playing here? Because this really makes Fountain's reacquisition by Kirby Smart, him coming back into the fold after he initially left UGA, this makes that look like an even more shrewd move on Smart's part, the fact that Fountain seems to be instrumental in a guy like Davis here who's such a good-looking prospect.
Yeah, a few things. Fountain is a guy that is connected to that recruiting, family, friends, and everything else like that. And I'm glad you brought up that topic of questioning, Brandon, because it gives me a chance to just say simply, I know a lot of fans think that Georgia's recruiting is led by some powerhouse, you know, A-listers and maybe like, you know, Del McGee, Sam Pittman, and maybe everybody else is, are kind of like the backup singers where Kirby Smart will kind of flow in and probably play the role, likely always does play the role of closer. But there are more guys. Glenn Schumann has really ascended in the role of being an elite recruiter over the last 4 to 6 months, and I think a lot of the new faces for Georgia as well. Scott Fountain and especially Dan Lanning. Dan Lanning is connected to a lot of huge recruits for Georgia right now. Jermaine Johnson, he's connected to N'Kobe Dean, of course. He's connected to legend Cavazos. And, you know, specifically with Ryan Davis, to answer your initial flurry of questions, the thing with Ryan Davis is they see him at about 6'3 and about 233 already, and they think length, ability, reads his keys, smart. They think he has the ability to play inside or outside linebacker. They want to cross-train him eventually when he's at Georgia. For his first year, he's probably going to be an inside linebacker if he was to choose Georgia. And then Glenn Schumann tells him later on, if he gets immersed into the Georgia way, they want him to be able to play all the linebacker positions in Georgia's scheme. And that is a very versatile type of guy, because you want to talk about N'Kobe Dean, you want to talk about even an Owen Papo and or J.D. Bertrand. Those guys are role-specific linebackers. Some guys can only be inside. They can't be outside. I think Ryan Davis is, you know, carries the nickname Trouble. I think his skills and ability and size and length give him the ability to adapt to play all those linebacker spots should he choose Georgia. And, again, we're talking about a kid that has already put Georgia out as his leader at this time.
So here is what, and if you'll permit me to be very honest, is like so diabolical about all of this. And I know that diabolical is probably the wrong word to use, but I can think of a better one. Kirby Smart is, Jeff, from my perspective, just so good at making scholarships at Georgia seem rare, right? I mean, Georgia had a pretty high-profile loss the other day with a five-star linebacker who chose another power program in the SEC. That won't be the only, you know, head-to-head loss Georgia takes over the course of the next few years. But, you know, Georgia has a way of making a person that chooses another school think, well, when you move on, we move on too, and all of a sudden there's a slew of elite names who are all of a sudden heavily connected to the UGA program here. Kirby does a good job of making those scholarships seem like an offer you better take immediately, or someone else going to kind of jump in line behind you here. And, I mean, listen, there is a nature in which that's how recruiting gets done. You've got to make it seem like your scholarship opportunity is just as valuable as the, you know, the player who thinks he's got a lot of other choices. The programs have got to make people think they've got a lot of other choices themselves, right?
I think what happens here a lot, Brandon, is Georgia consciously recruits with the notion that the players that they really want, they're being totally open and honest with. So, like the running back spot, Noah Kane, Trey Sanders, and John Emery Jr. all know the guys that Georgia really wants. So it's never a, okay, take it or leave it type thing where if a Derrick Brown or, you know, like a Derrick Brown or Kyler McMichael, some of these big misses in state go elsewhere, Aubrey Solomon, that they've got other guys, they've got other, you know, irons on the stove, they got other eyes on the stove burning with another really hot plate recruit. So to me, they're just Georgia as his guys, and it's funny how it works out where, you know, Glenn Schumann's got a guy, N'Kobe Dean's got a guy, and should things not work out with an Owen Papo, then there's a lot of quality guys that have been recruited for not just a knee-jerk reaction period,
yeah,
but for the months that led up to that decision. And it's sort of like, I mean, there are some special players. That's why they're called five stars. But incrementally, Brandon, it's kind of somebody that's a huge fan of your podcast and said, you know, I like that podcast, but Brandon only went an hour and 2 minutes. I really like it when he goes an hour and 4 minutes. Something of that nature. I mean, when you're talking about a top 100 player, and really the differences between N'Kobe Dean and Owen Papo are nil. I bet if we ask 100 folks on this broadcast right now that can honestly make an assessment because they've watched the film of both of these dudes, I bet it would be a 60-40 split in one way or the other about whether these guys that have gobbled up those highlight films, about whether they like N'Kobe Dean better or whether they like Owen Papo better or whether they like John Emery Jr. better or they like Trey Sanders or Noah Kane better.
Well, speaking of running backs, I want to finish our conversation in a moment by bringing up something that you wrote in the Centel Intel this week that definitely got my attention about a running back. We actually haven't talked about all that much. We'll do that to close out here in just a moment. Before that, though, you mentioned the name Legend Cavazos, the tremendous safety from ING Academy, and There is a lot to like about Cavazos as a player. It seems like he has a lot that he likes about UGA, going back to his G-Day visit there. And I also can't help but notice here that part of the value of Cavazos, at least it seems, is kind of who he's friends with here, right? I mean, to use a very dated reference, it's almost like he's the Dean Martin and the Rat Pack that sort of includes a Nolan Smith and a, you know, maybe a Trey Sanders, maybe a Noah Kane. You know, it seems like he's kind of buddies here with some pretty attractive names from the UGA perspective, and that's part of the value of Cavazos, is it not?
It is. I call him a connected recruit, and to me, it's almost like who you hang with. Because I knew Legend was a guy who's been at IMG for a while. He's actually a kid from Texas. But when you see him at visits, and when you see him on social media, and you see him at Georgia, and all of a sudden he is in that early group that's out there on the field that gets the chance to bump into Sony Michel and Nick Chubb, and he's on that early group out there with Jermaine Burton, Jaden Hazelwood, Nolan Smith, and Trey Sanders. That's one of those where you go, this guy is definitely ascending in George's eyes a little bit, especially because of the guys he's hanging out with. Dude, he is very fast. He's big enough, 6 feet, 185 pounds. He's one of those guys that the recruiting circuit hasn't caught up with yet because he has offers from Ohio State, Georgia, Alabama, LSU, a lot of these big programs. And for a while, he wasn't even rated except with a four-star rating on Rivals. I noticed he just picked up a three-star rating from 24/7 Sports within the last couple of weeks, currently rated as the nation's number 14 safety. But he has incredible measurables, Brandon. He timed a 4.56 on the laser, and he also put together a 37-feet powerball toss and a vertical leap of 43 inches. Those are explosive, outstanding measures, and Georgia is really after him hard. They're recruiting him hard. This is another Dan Lanning recruitment to watch for right here. And Legend, very cool name. Georgia sometimes finds a way to find these prospects that have interesting names in their secondary. And Legend Cavazos is a guy. There's a lot of chatter. You see it back and forth about, is Georgia his top school? Is Ohio State his top school? I just think Georgia is clearly in the running for Legend right now.
That's a really interesting point to bring up. Let me finish with this real quick. We've kept you long. We always appreciate your time. You talked about 2020 running back Zachary Evans this week, and he's been kind of impressive on this camp circuit so far this offseason. And you know it's going to get my attention when you start saying things like, if he were to join the fold at Georgia, he would rank right up there with any running back Georgia's recruited as of late, which I think I'm sort of paraphrasing kind of what you wrote here. That's a lot of praise for Evans here. We haven't really turned our attention to 2020 running backs as of yet because we got some unfinished business for Georgia when it comes to 2019 running backs. But boy, Jeff, a quote like that from you at Dog Nation is going to raise some eyebrows from a lot of people, me included here.
Yeah. I'm just going to throw out factual statements right here. Factual statements is Zachary Evans can run the short shuttle in about 3.90 seconds. That's faster than Dominic Blaylock. That's faster than Nolan Smith. I think that's the second or third best time in the country at all those Nike opening regionals. He can also power clean more than 325 pounds already as a rising junior. He's the nation's number one back for 2020. And I would say, Brandon, I kind of know what you're looking for here. I don't know if I can name any names, maybe one, maybe two, that Georgia has signed over the last 4 or 5 years at running back that I'd like better at this stage of his recruitment than Zachary Evans. Now Zachary Evans is a guy that he's in Texas, of course, Texas A&M and Texas and Oklahoma, Ohio State, all these schools are hot and heavy on Zachary Evans. But Zachary Evans has visited Georgia. He does get hit up a lot already by Del McGee on the short list of those 2020 backs. Of course, he's an underclassman. He's not eligible to be recruited heavily by Georgia. But the contacts and the media and everything else that is permitted within NCAA rules, Georgia is showing that he's a priority. And if you watch his highlight film, some people are going to say, I want to see more of that explosion. I want to see it more consistently. But the skills, the size, and the ability – and a very rare gear of start-and-stop quickness, Brandon. That's all there for Zachary Evans. And Georgia is, like we said before earlier in our program, this week we even hit on it pretty hard, Brandon. Georgia is going to go get the national elite top-tier backs because they have the profile to do so. And they have an elevated short-term memory profile to do so as well. And if Georgia – is going after the top backs in the country every year. Zachary Evans is that guy in the class of 2020.
It's great stuff, Jeff, and you are certainly very generous to give you so much, give us so much of your time on what is not just a holiday weekend, but a busy Friday for you and your family. Thanks for being here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza. Hope you get a chance to enjoy some time with your loved ones, wife and kids here this week, and we'll look forward to speaking to you again soon on our program here as well.
Hey, guys, happy Memorial Day, and be sure to thank a troop or a veteran for their service over the weekend. That's the Intel homework assignment.
Well said, Jeff.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Yeah, as Jeff says, to close it out there, you know, this weekend coming up is that time when we think about, you know, those armed services personnel that, you know, on this weekend in particular, that paid the ultimate sacrifice for our country. And obviously, you know, here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza, on behalf of our show and our sponsors, we could not be more grateful for those who have come before us who've laid the foundation for the freedom that we get to enjoy. I think America's a really great place, and I think that the freedom to be able to talk college football on a weekend like this and do some fun things on a weekend like this without ever truly forgetting about, you know, the reason why it's all possible, I think that's a really important thing. And one of the most, if you'll allow me to say this here for a moment before we do our SEC through, one of the most overwhelming things to me, and the thing that fills me with more pride than almost anything else about the show that we get to do, is when I hear from, you know, some of the people, and you see the armed services uniform on in their profile pic, or they tell you where they are overseas, and they tell you that they've taken Dog Nation with them, Jeff's work, the app, our show, over with them, you know, in harm's way in many cases, but just abroad in general, you know, serving our country. That is the most awesome thing possible. And I say that from the bottom of my heart. Thank you so much. No matter where you listen to a Dog Nation Daily, obviously, but for those of you who have been so kind to say, hey, I've taken it with me to, you know, various bases that I've been to, and I hear from a lot of you from time to time, that is really a cool thing. Thank you so much for that, and for all of you who've chosen to make Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza, part of your Memorial Day weekend. We really appreciate that. On a more lighthearted note, by the way, coming up to kind of close things out here in a moment as part of our Dog Day Q&A, if you'll allow me to, I'm actually going to go away from sports just for a brief moment because, you know, today is somewhat of a big day for me, maybe not quite as big day for you. That's what I'm going to find out. I'm like the biggest Star Wars guy in the world. Some of y'all are probably not aware of that. The Solo movie, the Han Solo origin pick, is in theaters today. I've heard mixed reviews on it. I'm sort of curious to find out how many of you in this listening and viewing audience are also Star Wars fans. We'll talk about that as part of our Dog Day Q&A here coming up in just a moment. Before that, though, on the subject of college football as a part of our SEC through, the South Point, which is a sports book in Las Vegas, and the South Point kind of wants to be known as the sports book for college football. This is the sports book that Brent Musburger is somehow connected to. You know, he does VSiN, which is a online betting, you know, network of shows. They are tied to the South Point in some way or another. They've got their college football games of the year. What games of the year are, you know, you can see week one lines at a lot of different places already. And during the season, the point spreads are altered week to week as you move, you know, throughout the college football season. But there are these points in the summer. South Point does theirs late May. The Golden Nugget will do theirs sort of mid-July, where they put almost, you know, a whole slate of games out. Golden Nugget typically does more than the South Point. But it's a chance to get some early thoughts on what some of the betting public's thinking about the college football season. A couple of things interesting here from the South Point. First of all, for the people who are saying, hey, Georgia, watch out at South Carolina, dangerous game on the road week two, South Point doesn't necessarily think so. They've got Georgia as an 11-point favorite on the road at South Carolina. That's a pretty significant number for a Georgia team going into a hostile stadium here. I thought that was kind of interesting. Something else that I thought was kind of interesting, and I'm going to hear this on SEC Country Live from some of the LSU fans. I said the other day that I thought that Florida would be a slight favorite against LSU when LSU went to Gainesville. But as it turns out, no respect for Florida here. You've got LSU on the road as a 3.5-point favorite. That's a pretty significant number there from my perspective. But LSU is favored here. Now, most of the preview magazines, a lot of the online college football media don't like LSU a lot this upcoming season. But apparently Vegas here likes them on the road at Florida, which is somewhat interesting. Back to Georgia here for a moment. We talk about the cocktail party every day here on our Dog Nation Daily, and Georgia, a big favorite against Florida here also in Jacksonville, a 15-point favorite when those two teams get together. I believe that's October 27th this year. I know how many days away it is. Sometimes I forget what date it is, but Georgia, a 15-point favorite there. Alabama, a 10-point favorite over LSU. That's on the road. The last time these two teams played in Baton Rouge, it was a struggle for Alabama. They only won the game 10-0. But that margin is what they are favored by on November 3rd. And most of the, you know, like the advanced stats, analytics public, most of them also look at that as Alabama's toughest game for the upcoming season. 10 points there, even with Auburn coming in there at home. Most people do look at that as the tougher overall game for Alabama there. Let me get a couple more of these point spreads here before we wrap up our SEC through. Mississippi State's a 7-point favorite in the Egg Bowl. If you're interested in the Iron Bowl, Alabama at home, just a 7-point favorite. That is not, I would expect to be a little higher than that. Just a 7-point favorite for Alabama in the Iron Bowl right now. And Georgia's a 21-point favorite against Georgia Tech there to close out the season. And we'll close out the SEC through with that. And here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza, you know, this time of year, one of the things that we've been doing, and we've had, I think, a lot of fun with, I think a lot of you have enjoyed having more comments in the show, period. And it's a chance to sort of sometimes loosen up and not take ourselves quite so seriously, especially with the holiday weekend coming up and those big summer Hollywood holiday movies type things coming out right now. As I said before, I am a big Star Wars fan. The Han Solo movie starts today. I've heard some people say it's good. Other people say it's not quite so good. I'm still going to, you know, take my son. We're going to go see it because we're both pretty big Star Wars nuts there. I'm sort of curious if you're a Star Wars fan, and you can weigh in on that. Plus, we'll sort of take your comments on anything else you want to talk about from today's show. The McGarity thing was a hot topic. I was noticing that in the comment section while Jeff Sintel was on the phone. Some of y'all were still talking about the issue with Greg McGarity, and is he the best athletic director going forward here for UGA? Should he get a new contract, and should he get, as Chip Tower suggested, a raise? Some of you can weigh in on that. And if you want to talk about what some of the anonymous coaches were saying about Kirby Smart, we'll give you a chance to do that too. Terry Crews, by the way, says that he's already seen Solo. I guess that's what it is now, that these movies come out, like the big ones come out like the night before. You can go to like midnight screenings and things like that. Terry Crews says he thought it was really fun, so that's kind of good to know. C-Lock, or I'm never quite sure if it's C-Lock or Clock on YouTube, says that Solo couldn't be worse than The Last Jedi. Yeah, I know that many of you don't like The Last Jedi. That was kind of a controversial movie in some respects. I won't spoil it for those of you that haven't seen it yet, but there were some, maybe some plot point decisions that not everybody loved. It sounds like that was a controversial movie for a lot of people. I probably liked it more so than disliked it. The truth is, I just like the Star Wars universe. I like the spaceships. I like the characters. You know, I'm probably not as emotionally invested in how these, you know, movies go as some others are. I just sort of like being immersed in the Star Wars universe, especially now when you go to these theaters where you put on the 3D glasses, the screen's as big as a skyscraper. I mean, you really feel like you're in outer space when you're watching these things, and I guess that's about the depth at which I go. Like, I'm a big fan, but not a necessarily a huge Star Wars expert. There's plenty about the Star Wars universe that I probably don't know. Diedrich Fraser on YouTube says he's not a Star Wars fan, but he's waiting on the new Jurassic Park. Yeah, I've seen the previews for that. That looks pretty intense. North Georgia Pro Wash, also on YouTube, on the subject of me not spoiling The Last Jedi. He says, if you haven't seen The Last Jedi by now, then you're not a Star Wars fan. It did come out in December, after all. That is probably fair to say. Al Clements back here on Facebook says, he says, how many games do you feel it will take Dogs? Actually, I'm not quite sure what Al says there. Maybe I misread what he was writing there. Al, put that comment back in there, and I'll read that one again. Robert Barnes on Facebook says, going back to the Greg McGarity topic, to give McGarity credit for waiting to the right time to make the move from Rick to Kirby. Every year we've added and needed upgrades. I also like that. He keeps a low profile. This is not a good time to make major personnel changes. Let's keep McGarity. I don't disagree with that necessarily. I think the Georgia Athletic Association, even though McGarity's name may be at the top of the org chart and he may answer to a Jerry Moorhead, the university president, the person that casts the vision for UGA Athletics is Kirby Smart. He's the leader. The football team pays for all of this stuff. I mean, you know, every time, you know, one of these other sports sort of flies across the country to go play in some tournament or whatever, I mean, that's all paid for by, you know, the football players, you know, putting their safety on the line every single Saturday and every single day during practice. And so as Kirby goes, the athletic association is going to go. And all I need from my AD is to be, you know, the comparison here for me is not CEO, it's more chief of staff. You know, Kirby as the leader, the AD as his chief of staff, finding a way to give him what he needs. That for me is the model here. Miriam Martin Corbin, also on the subject of movies, says Jurassic Park is my nerddom segment. I love dinosaurs. I saw the recent reboot from Jurassic Park. I kind of liked it. And I think part of the reason why, you know, the movie topic is going to be pretty hot this weekend, as I look out the window here in our palatial Atlanta studios, I see pretty dark skies. So the idea that you're going to spend a lot of time at the pool or the golf course or wherever else you might want to go, this weekend may be more of a Metroplex in the movie theater weekend than a sunshine weekend. I'm not quite sure how much of that we're going to get here in the state of Georgia. All right, as we get ready to wrap up the show and wrap up our week, first of all, thanks so much for being with us. I know many of you are not at work today, so the fact that you've still chosen to tune in to Dog Nation Daily presented by Marco's Pizza, whether it be on the radio, on the podcast form, or on the video form, is, well, it's certainly grateful for us. We love being here for you. We know that not all of you can be here every day, but we want to be here every day for you, and you can get here when you can. And, of course, when you come here, one of the things you've come to expect is our Gator Hater Countdown. In 155 days from right now, our buddy Eddie the Blind Squirrel and all of us head back to Jacksonville for the world's largest outdoor cocktail party. And once again, we look forward to seeing the Georgia Bulldogs, as, by the way, the South Point Sportsbook and Casino in Las Vegas has told us, a 15-point favorite here. We look forward to seeing the Georgia Bulldogs knock off the Florida Gators once again. And until then, we'll keep doing the Gator Hater Countdown every single day. As I said before, thank you so much to the families of the service personnel who paid the ultimate sacrifice for our country. Enjoy the Memorial Day weekend, and we'll see you on Monday.